Fangoria Presents The Narrow Caves is brought to you by Shudder. Shudder is the Netflix for horror, where you can stream great thrillers, horror, and suspense for $4.99 a month or just $49.99 for the entire year. I watched a few Stephen King movies on Shudder this weekend, including Pet Sematary, Cujo, and Salem's Lot. I'm also pretty excited to watch some Alfred Hitchcock films that I haven't seen. They have all types of movies and series, from the classics to modern favorites, and even some originals too, like A Discovery of Witches that hit Shudder on January 17th. And they add new shows and films weekly. To try Shudder for free for 30 days, go to Shudder.com and use promo code CAVES. That's Shudder.com. Promo code CAVES. That's Shudder.com. Promo code CAVES. The following contains explicit and sexual content. Listener discretion is advised. Previously on The Narrow Caves.
This place is nice. Has that elegant old world kind of atmosphere.
I wasn't able to sleep because you were babbling. And
I was babbling?
Can we please...
What did I say?
Something about your mother.
You had no right to read that.
Do you think that what happened in that book really...
I'm not comfortable talking about it, all right?
Okay. I'm just trying to help.
Don't be so curious.
It's a misty and wet morning. Ruby leads Walter along a trail that wends the enormous oak trees of a dusky forest. The pale woman wears a navy blue raincoat, a black skirt, and a canvas bag, and the lanky fellow is dressed in an olive green poncho and carries a backpack. Tension remains between the couple.
It's raining.
It isn't.
Walter frowns and wipes water from his brow. Ruby ducks under a low branch that juts across the path.
Don't walk into this.
The lanky fellow awkwardly ducks beneath the branch, which then snags a strap on his pack and pulls him backward.
Oh, shit.
Walter surges forward and catches up with Ruby. Something crackles in the woods, and the lanky fellow looks in the direction of the noise.
Did you hear that?
It wasn't anything.
That's a very audible nothing.
Hissing, the rain starts to fall. The lanky fellow tilts his head down to keep the downpour from getting into his eyes.
Are you going to deny this?
Last time I looked, you were wearing a poncho.
A borrowed one for girls that's too small. Though it's my belief that all ponchos are female.
You should have remembered to pack a raincoat.
Irked, Walter frowns.
I wasn't aware of all the fun we'd be having on this trip.
Ruby does not seem to notice the facetious remark. Her eyes are locked on the path that lies ahead.
We're nearly there.
Fangoria presents The Narrow Caves. Written by S. Craig Zahler. Directed by Keith Reynolds. Starring Wyatt Russell, Lily Simmons, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Will Patton as the narrator.
Chapter 5.
Walter lifts his gaze and looks forward. All of the trees up ahead are blackened. The nearest ones have burnt branches and trunks, and the farthest victims are dead husks of black coal that are just waiting to fall. Ruby presses into the charred region of the forest, followed by Walter. the couple silently inspects the blackened trees which cover a vast area. Walter walks over to a burnt pine, places his palms against its trunk, and pushes. The 15-foot tree falls over and shatters against the ground. Ruby gazes at this ruined area in a melancholic silence. The hissing rainfall diminishes to a dripping trickle.
Are you okay?
The pale woman turns unhappy thoughts as she surveys the ruined woodlands.
I used to come here by myself when I was little.
The lanky fellow stuffs down his recent annoyances and closes the distance.
I'm sorry for snapping at you last night.
It's okay.
The pale woman hugs the lanky fellow. Sporadic rain drips on the duo and trickles from one body to the other.
I love you. And I'm so thankful that you're here with me.
I love you too.
Human scents overpower those of the woodlands, and Ruby kisses Walter hard upon the lips. At present, the lanky fellow opens his mouth and returns the passion. A canvas bag and a wet backpack thud upon the ground. Pale fingers peel the poncho from Walter, who himself is busy unbuttoning Ruby's navy raincoat. Waterproof fabric arcs through the air and hangs upon blackened tree branches. Bare knees splatter mud as Ruby kneels in front of Walter, who removes and discards her blouse. A pale right hand unbuttons his jeans and tugs down his zipper.
Hey, shouldn't we find someplace more?
Oh. Ruby takes Walter's fingers into her mouth. A groan rises from his throat, and his hands cradle her head, which bobs back and forth. Pleasurable spasms rise up his anatomy.
Oh, Christ.
Ruby withdraws her head and looks up at Walter. Rainwater runs down her face and drips from her chin and wet hair.
Close your eyes.
The lanky fellow shuts his eyes. Again, the pale woman takes her boyfriend into her mouth and bobs her head back and forth. Wet black hair swings pendulously. Ruby withdraws her head, reaches to the side, and claims a stick, which is 16 inches long and about 1.5 in diameter.
Keep them closed.
You're driving.
Ruby stabs the stick into the earth. Gripping the shaft tightly, she presses the wood deeper into the mud. The upraised end is smooth and about 1 foot off of the ground.
Shh, passenger, I'm driving.
The pale woman squats, reaches under her skirt and makes an adjustment. Panties fall to her ankles and are kicked aside. Ruby straddles the jutting stick and takes Walter again in her mouth. She bobs her head back and forth, reaches down, and sets the wood against her skirt-covered labia. Carefully, Ruby lowers her draped pelvis. Wood creaks as the stick penetrates her. Walter grips wet black hair, takes a deep breath, and moans. Ruby repeatedly raises and lowers her pelvis on the stick while pleasuring Walter.
I'm gonna finish.
The pale woman's undulations quicken and spasms shoot through her legs as she climaxes. Creaking, the stick bends. Groaning with completion, the lanky fellow squeezes his girlfriend's head and leans forward. Walter opens his eyes and looks at Ruby, who is carefully withdrawing the top half of the broken stick from between her legs. Concern shows upon his face as he zips himself up.
Jesus, did you hurt yourself?
A line of blood runs down her inner thigh and touches her ankle. Ruby flings the stick, which whips through the air and smacks against a scorched tree.
We'll find out when you're ready for round two.
No.
Uneasy with this event, the lanky fellow helps his pale girlfriend to her feet. Her muddy knees tremble and she bites back pain.
Are you okay?
Yes. And I'm feeling far better than okay.
Let's get dressed.
The rain has stopped. Holding hands and fully clothed, the couple proceeds through the vast scorched area.
When did all this happen? The fire?
Ruby looks around at the charred vicinity, her footfalls slow as she deliberates.
People usually stall when they're making stuff up.
I'm just thinking about what happened here. Why I wanted to come back during the daytime with you and do what we did. Maybe I was trying to prove to myself that I wasn't afraid anymore.
What happened?
The couple climbs an incline for a dozen strides. From this raised vantage, the distant house and small lake are visible.
Ruby?
It was last year. My father was supposed to meet me at the house, but he got snowed in overseas in Germany. It was night, and I was alone in my room.
Walter looks at the tiny, distant windows of Ruby's room.
I did crossword puzzles in bed until I fell asleep. Hours later, something woke me up.
A noise?
I don't know. But I was cold and disoriented and scared for some reason. It took me a while to get back to sleep. And then it happened again. I woke up, frightened and uneasy for reasons I couldn't explain. Lights were shining on my curtains, even though it was night. And when I looked outside, I saw all of this burning.
Any idea what caused it?
There was a man.
Uneasy, Walter looks at Ruby, surveys the vicinity, and then eyes the environs.
An arsonist?
I don't know. But I saw him running over there.
Ruby points to the forest perimeter, which abuts the back of the family house.
What did he look like?
He was far away. And in silhouette. But it looked like he was tall and naked.
Yuck. What happened after?
He called the fire department and the police.
Did they get the guy?
No. But they found some unidentifiable fingerprints inside of the house. A few sets were in my bedroom.
Christ.
Ruby is chilled by the memory, and Walter hugs her tightly.
Did he take anything?
No. And I almost wish that he had stolen something. As it is, we don't know who this man was or what he wanted. What?
I might have seen someone last night when I was in the library.
Ruby stares at Walter. Her gaze is hard and sharp.
Why didn't you say anything?
I'm not sure that somebody was actually there. It was late.
Forget it.
The pale woman looks around the blackened environment.
Let's go back.
Fine.
There is a new barrier between the lovers, who currently walk side by side rather than hand in hand through a healthy part of the woodlands. Unhappy thoughts turn inside of Ruby's mind, and Walter ponders how to make things better.
Thinking about your mother?
I used to walk these trails with her.
Do you know what caused her passing?
Silence falls, and the lanky fellow wonders if he has asked too much.
She had some kind of schizophrenic episode. The last time I saw her, she was raving, almost unintelligible.
Sorry.
Or perhaps she was babbling, like I do in my sleep.
For a ponderous moment, the couple proceeds along the path and around the bend. To the right is a small clearing that has a few stones set in a circle. The estranged couple continues along the path. The lanky fellow glances at the old campsite, remembers something, and clears his throat.
I'm going camping with Jason and Anthony when I get back.
Are you leaving without me?
Confused by this inquiry, Walter eyes Ruby, who is two steps ahead on the path.
Why are you asking me that?
Ruby ducks underneath a low-hanging branch.
You said when I get back, rather than when we get back?
Two strides bring Walter to the same branch, which he then ducks under and passes.
Don't overanalyze everything.
If I was in a better mood, I'd laugh at how hypocritical that advice is coming from you.
If you were more honest with me, you might laugh more often than you menstruate.
Don't be crass.
Ahead of the bickering couple is a corner where the path turns sharply. Footfalls squish, and rain drips as they round the bend. Startled, Ruby stops walking. Walter looks ahead. Standing on the trail and 80 feet away is a filthy man who wears only rags. Walter grabs a heavy stick and steps in front of Ruby.
Hey! Who are you, and why are you here? Do you understand me?
The trespasser hastens off of the trail and into the forest.
Stop! This is private property!
Ruby looks at the dense woodlands into which the filthy man has disappeared.
We should go back. Now.
Listening for the trespasser, the couple continues forward.
Think that was the arsonist?
I don't know.
Inside of the large turquoise-tiled kitchen, Gregory stirs a stew in a cast-iron soup pot. A knock garners his attention, and he looks toward the sliding door. On the far side of the glass loom the anxious, wet heads of Walter and Ruby, who both stand on the wooden porch. The gaunt man lowers the flame underneath the pot and approaches the entrance. Outside, the lanky fellow glances back at the woods. Gregory undoes the locking pin and slides open the door.
Someone's on our property.
The gaunt man looks past his daughter and toward the woods.
A vagrant?
Probably.
Ruby leads Walter inside.
Did you get a good look at his face or his eyes?
He was pretty far away, and he ran off right after we saw him.
We heard some noises in the woods earlier this morning. Thought it was just an animal. Thinking about it now, this guy might have been watching us all day.
Ruby shudders at this suggestion as Gregory shuts the glass door and slots the locking pin.
I'll call the sheriff and have him search the grounds.
Good.
Ruminating, the gaunt man looks through the sliding glass door and then returns his attention to his daughter and her lanky guest.
Both of you should wash up and put on dry clothes. The sheriff will want to ask you some questions.
Ruby turns to Walter.
I'll shower upstairs while you use mine.
Shaking from the cold, the lanky fellow nods his head. Staring through the window at the forest and reclining in bed is Walter, dressed in a dry t-shirt and blue jeans. Ruby pads into the room, towel drying her hair and wearing a blue robe.
Did you talk to the police?
Yeah. No, they haven't found anything yet.
The pale woman sets the towel on a hook, tightens the belt of her robe, and walks over to the window.
Didn't you think that your father's reactions to what happened were a bit peculiar?
Ruby turns from the window and looks unkindly upon Walter.
What do you mean by that?
You don't need to get defensive. Said yourself that he's secretive.
Agitated, the pale woman looks back toward the woods.
I was thinking about the questions he asked us when we came in. He assumed right away that the man was a vagrant. Why? And then he asked about the man's face, specifically his eyes.
Ruby looks at Walter.
And?
It sounded like he was anticipating certain responses from us.
What are you insinuating?
It seems like your father has some idea who this man is.
Ruby turns away and stares out of the window. Walter awaits a response to his suggestions, but none are forthcoming. Outside, a flashlight glares into existence as a deputy walks along the edge of the woods and disappears between two trees. The silent treatment does not better the lanky fellow's mood.
Maybe this vagrant knows something incriminating about your father.
Anger flashes through Ruby, who then glares at Walter.
My father is not a criminal. If you're going to say things like that, you're more than welcome to leave.
Stunned, the lanky fellow stares at his pale girlfriend.
Ruby? Walter? Carter and Samuel are here.
We'll be out in just a minute.
Ruby coolly closes the curtains, walks across the room to the closet, and dresses as Walter goes to a mirror and brushes his hair. His reflected face shows his uneasy state. Putting on amiable faces, Ruby and Walter enter the dining room where Gregory sits at the table with Carter and Samuel, who are tall, sharp-featured twins in their early 30s. The primary physical difference between the siblings is that the former is robust, while the latter has graying hair, circles under his eyes, and an altogether sickly appearance. A bowl of hot beef and onion stew sits upon each placemat. Carter and Samuel look through steam at Walter.
Carter and Samuel, this is Walter.
Walter steps forward and extends his hand, which Carter claims and robustly shakes.
It's nice to meet you. Likewise.
He's Carter, and next to him is Samuel.
Walter steps towards Samuel and extends his hand. The unhealthy sibling slowly clasps the proffered appendage with a cold hand. A tiny shudder passes through the lanky fellow.
Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well.
Samuel smiles weakly as Walter shakes and releases his hand. The lanky fellow pulls out a chair for his pale girlfriend, who promptly sits down and then seats himself.
He has more manners than the last one.
Samuel nods in agreement as Ruby looks at Carter.
How's Ava doing?
She's doing well. No further complications have come up. You'll have to fly out to Germany and visit once the baby's born.
I'd love to come.
Splendid. And perhaps Walter will join you, if he's still around at that time.
I wouldn't make any bets.
Ruby throws an unkind look at Walter for this remark, which garners odd looks from both Carter and Samuel.
Shall we eat?
The healthy brother and sister nod in assent while the lanky guest places a napkin upon his lap.
Samuel.
Samuel focuses his distant gaze upon Ruby.
You better eat.
I will.
The sickly twin claims his spoon.
See? I have all the necessary equipment.
You're thinner than you were the last time, and that was already too thin.
Ruby, Carter, and Gregory watch as Samuel raises a small amount of the steaming stew to his mouth, blows on it thrice, and eats. Brooding, Walter stares at his bowl of boiled meat. A bedside lamp illuminates the room. Walter lies on the mattress with a thick mystery novel in his hands, while Ruby works on a crossword puzzle magazine. For a long moment, the individuals that comprise this couple busy themselves with their private intellectual words. The lanky fellow snorts, shuts his book, and shakes his head.
I can't focus.
The pale woman does not look up from her crossword puzzle.
Why don't you get something else from the library?
It isn't the book. It's this game we're playing, this war of silence. Do you want me to go home?
What do you want to do?
I love you.
Ruby pauses her puzzle-solving enterprise in response to this proclamation, but does not look up from the magazine.
Maybe not at this exact moment, because we're fighting. But that feeling's a lot deeper and bigger than this squabble. At least it is to me.
Walter takes Ruby's left hand and squeezes. The pale woman keeps her gaze upon her half-completed crossword puzzle.
You invited me out here to help you face things. Maybe even make things better. So don't put up all these walls and fences.
A tear drips from the pale woman's sparkling eyes and splats upon the paper. Sniffling, she nods her head.
okay?
I know that you're concerned about Samuel.
He's been like this since our mother passed away. Sickly and introverted.
Was he especially close with her?
All of us were close. But he was the only one who saw her on the day that she died.
That must have been horrible. Has he discussed what happened?
He won't talk about it with any of us. But I know that things were really bad by then. That was the day that she wrote on the wall.
The pale woman starts to shake, and the lanky fellow encircles her with his arms.
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
It sleeps in our blood.
That's what she wrote on the wall?
Yes. She wrote it there, with her own feces.
Disturbed, Walter hugs Ruby more tightly.
I'm sorry that you and your family had to go through this.
The pale woman presses her reddened face into her lanky boyfriend's chest.
Before she died, Samuel was engaged, had a good career in finance, and lived in a penthouse apartment. Now he lives alone in Carter's guest house, doesn't eat, doesn't sleep.
Has he ever seen a psychiatrist?
We asked him to go, but he refused.
Walter kisses the top of Ruby's head and hugs her tightly.
I'm scared that whatever happened to her mother is hereditary. And it's been passed down to Samuel and to Carter and me.
The lanky fellow shares the same concerns, but does not voice them aloud. Wearing shorts and a t-shirt, Walter groggily returns to the hallway from the bathroom. His squinting eyes look toward the light that spills into the passage from the library. Curious, the lanky fellow pads to the end of the hall and looks into the next room. Sitting in the reading chair by the lamp is Samuel. The sickly twin looks at the Gleichman medical notebook that lies open upon his lap. The man inserts his right index finger in his mouth and feels the flesh that lies underneath his tongue. The lanky fellow in the hall grows uneasy and departs. Walter walks through the portal, closes the door, thumbs the lock, and quietly returns to the bed where lies Ruby. The mattress sags as the pale woman unconsciously sniffs the air and slides her arms around her boyfriend. Anxious, the lanky fellow looks at the moonlight that outlines the closed curtains and wonders if he will ever again fall asleep. A long yawn soon rises to the surface. The uncomfortable events of the day, the sexual encounter in the woods, and the burden of emotional fatigue overwhelm his nerves. Far sooner than expected, his eyelids grow heavy. The moon has vanished behind the trees. An absolute darkness fills the bedroom in which lie Walter and Ruby. In this opaque slab, something clicks.
Walter, did you hear something?
What?
A noise.
No. I was asleep till now.
I heard something.
What did you hear?
A click. Like the lock on the door.
Okay. Turn on the light.
Did you hear that?
No. What?
Shh, listen.
That's us.
It's more than two people.
Turn on
the... Do you smell that?
I'm turning on the light.
Don't.
A switch clicks, and light fills the room. Squinting, Walter and Ruby look forward. Standing at the foot of the bed, with his red eyes trained on the couple, is the filthy man who holds a piece of wood. The lanky fellow flings the blanket aside and lunges at the intruder as the pale woman yells. A shadow moves by the headboard. Wood smacks against Walter's left temple and the whole lamp shatters against Ruby's head. Darkness returns.
Been listening to The Narrow Caves, written by S. Craig Zahler, directed by Keith Reynolds, produced by Dallas Saunier and Keith Reynolds, executive producer Will Evans, featuring Wyatt Russell, Lily Simmons, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Will Patton as the narrator, co-starring Hunter Hargrave, Lindsey Graham, Ann Beyer, Sarah Ragsdale, Mike Schrader, Ian Ferguson, Rico Fajardo, Jeannie Tirado, Eric Vail, Jeffrey Schmidt, Aaliyah Tavakolian, John Michael Tatum, Christopher Sabat, and Brandon Potter. Sound design, Foley, and sound mix by Lindsey Graham. Original score by Binary Reptile.
In the next chapter.
Where are we?
Underground? In some cave, I think.
Hey! What do you want from us? Somebody's coming.
Go to hell. Something's alive in there.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite shows. Follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fangoria.